We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire. Presented by Traeger, your full-service safety partner.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations, you're off work. Luckily for you, Old Dirty and Show have the latest for you. And Cal McNair, the chairman CEO of the Houston Texans, spoke today. And he started talking about his new general manager and all of the good feels about Nick Caserio.
He is very smart. I think Nick is very smart, and I think you all see that in the way he answers questions and goes about what he does. He's also fearless in his ability to turn over the roster in a big way. And I think we're in really good hands with Nick, so I'm really excited about him and what all he's done and what he'll do in the future, because the draft, as he said, is one part of it, and there'll be more chances to add to the team as we move through the different phases of the season.
He seems very happy with the decision he made as his new general manager. Nick Caserio, are you as happy as Cal McNair is with the job that Nick Caserio has done since he's arrived?
Yeah, look, I mean, Cal McNair should be happy with the job he's done with that Nick Caserio's done. I mean, you're talking about a guy that a priority initially out of the gate was clearly to flip this roster, and I don't know what 70 moves made. I don't know what percentage of the locker room that equates to, but I would imagine it's upwards of 50% of the locker room at this point in time. So, yeah, that's priority number one. I think if you look at the draft. I'm sorry, if you look at free agency and the way that they went about it, I don't know if the plan's going to work, but when you look at the plan that they had, it was players with 4 to 7 years, 8 years of experience to build a foundation, bring a bunch of them in, decide which ones you want to keep for the season, cut the other ones. He clearly has accomplished that. And then you look at the draft, and look, I know there's – and I'm one of them. Look, I'm one of them that's been critical of – I feel like they should have gone defense heavy,
yeah.
And then boom, right out of the gate, they go three offensive players. I still think that was a mistake. I think your biggest issues are on defense, and so I would have liked to have seen them go defense with this draft. I think it would have helped them get over the hump of how bad the defense was last year. However, I can look at each one of those draft picks in a vacuum and say, hey, Davis Mills, I think he's got a chance to be a player in this league. Nico Collins, not only does he have a chance to be a player in this league, but he's a guy that fits one of your major needs, which was size and speed in the receiver room, and youth, by the way, in the receiver room. You got that. Then you look at Brevin Jordan at the tight end position. You got an extremely high-ceiling player that right now is, to me, is as good athletically as Jordan Akins with a higher ceiling. And so you've got – You definitely brought in great value with the draft picks that you did have, right? And then you answered some needs with a linebacker and a defensive tackle later in the draft. You definitely did a good job in terms of value in the draft. So, again, whether it's free agency, flipping the locker room, the draft, getting value with the draft picks that you did have, I think every time Nick Caserio reaches a date on the calendar that's circled for one reason or another, I think he continues to impress. Every time we hear from him, I'm more impressed, and I have more confidence in what he's doing with the Houston Texans. So, yeah, Cal McNair should be excited and happy about what Nick Caserio's done to this point.
Well, it looks like they have a plan, which sometimes you weren't sure if the previous regime had one.
Right.
It seems like they have a plan, and they make moves to that plan. Now, you may not have to agree with it, but correct, you at least see the plan of what they're doing right now. And that is, to me, they look like more of a grown-up organization with the moves yes, they're making. And that has to be.
So he couldn't have been dealt a worse hand. No first, no second round draft pick. The meat of your roster clearly is not what you want as a GM, and your quarterback who wants out is bad. But then the situation got worse, where now you can't trade him. So look, a GM can't get dealt a worse hand. You had a dumpster fire organization that needed to flip the locker room, and you got a quarterback that you got to pay a boatload of money to that you can't trade, and he wants out. I mean, You can talk about all the dysfunctional organizations that have lost and GMs have taken over. It doesn't even compare to what Nick Caserio took over. So, it's hard at this point. They haven't played a game, so we don't know if all these veterans that they signed mess the bed and the draft picks don't touch the field like last year's draft picks, then we can cuss and discuss. But right now, I think you got to be impressed with what Nick Caserio has been able to pull off.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Cal McNair also spoke about potentially when they could have full crowds at NRG.
Well, we're selling tickets now, so hopefully we're going as if it's going to be a full stadium, and we're looking forward to having our fans in there, having all the excitement of the games that the fans come to enjoy, both before the game and during the game. So we're looking forward.
All right, that's Cal McNair talking about fans being back at NRG potentially. And we've watched baseball and we've watched basketball. They've started to bring more fans in. Do you think we're seriously getting to a place where we're getting close where the NFL might have a chance to be able to at least have half or get close to having full houses coming
Absolutely.
Up?
Absolutely. I'd be very surprised with the rate in which people are getting vaccinated,
yep,
and the rate in which the world's getting back to a new normal, but they are getting back to having live events, concerts, obviously with Major League Baseball cranking, rocking and rolling right now, I would imagine that there's going to be some full capacities there sooner rather than later. So yeah, I would think that there'll be full capacity, barring some kind of setback. I would think there's going to be their own path to have full capacity come NFL season, and I would be shocked if the Houston Texans, given everything we just got through talking about, the dumpster fire, the Deshaun Watson situation, the Cal McNair, hate that's getting thrown his direction, I would be highly surprised. I'd be shocked, in fact, if the Texans didn't sell out.
Yeah, you think that would you be surprised if they don't? If they and other NFL teams don't have an opportunity at some point this year to sell out,
yes,
like to be able to sell complete.
Yes, I would be surprised.
I do,
yes,
too. I think they're going to potentially be the first league. Well, I guess the Rangers did it. Never mind.
I mean, LSU over across state line over there. LSU's all open-air stadiums, full capacity, baby. Are they?
Go Tigers!
Didn't matter because them Hogs went down there and whooped that ass in a little baseball. How about them Hogs, baby?
Texas A&M was doing it anyway during the football season. They had sure had more than 20,000 fans in those stadiums.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, tonight is the big one. The Astros and the Yankees get going at Yankee Stadium. They have not played on the same field since this happened.
Altuve has just sent the Astros to the World Series.
Chapman went after him and lost the battle.
That's right. Yankees-Astros tonight. This ought to be a big one, Clint. This is one that I know at least the fan bases are really, really fired up for, and you would imagine that the players would be too.
Yeah, hell yeah, it is. Tyler, one more time. Give me that one more time, buddy.
Altuve has just sent the Astros to the World Series.
Right on the TV.
Chapman went after him and lost the battle.
If that don't give you chill bumps, you ain't got a heartbeat.
I'm so excited.
If that don't give you chill bumps, you ain't got a heartbeat. Yeah,
you
no, look,
hate the Astros.
This is big time. I mean, look, this is a big time series. Look, it's a regular season series. Everybody talks about these early season, regular season series don't mean nothing. This one means something. Now, I don't care what the records are. When you're the Astros, and look, let's start with that. Before the controversy, the scandal, when you go to New York and you take the field, And on the other side of the diamond is the New York Yankees. It means more. It just gets you right. It gets your blood boiling. And then all you got to do is add that little bit of controversy between the Astros and the Yankees in 2019, hell, and before, and you've got the makings of a hell of a rivalry where the blood's going to run hot, baby. And so, yeah, this is big, man. This is going to be fun tonight. I'm stoked about it.
I'm looking at ESPN right now. They got Yankees fans outside there with their signs for the Astros. And this is going to be fun from the fans. We'll see what the Yankees – it won't be a full house there, but we'll see what the Yankees fans do. First time since the ALCS in 2019.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Dusty Baker – he gave an update on what many believe, and I would be that person, the Astros' best pitcher, Framber Valdez, and where he is right now.
Well, I talked to him the other day. You know, he's throwing off the mound, and he said he feels great. So, you know, he's way ahead of schedule. How far, I don't know, but he is ahead of schedule. I mean, the last I heard, in the best of my ability, his finger's doing great. It's just a matter of trying to get his arm in shape now and get his pitches together. So, you know, spring training part two for him. You know, you certainly don't want to rush him to end up hurting something else because of that finger. So, but, you know, he's doing great.
It seems like, Clint, the fractured finger is feeling better. It is now just more of let's get that arm in a good space where he's ready to play to take on a regular season. If they get him back, this is a game changer to me because this is like a huge trade before the deadline.
Yeah, so you add him to Greinke, Christian Javier, Lance McCullers, and Jose Urquidy. You throw Valdez in that mix right there, and I think you got a pretty solid start in rotation that if the stars align and these guys are pitching their best ball come crunch time, I'd imagine the Astros are going to be a tough team to beat. So, I don't know that. I don't know if Valdez is their best pitcher.
He is.
I mean, let's not get carried away.
No one's getting carried away.
You're just trying to stick your flag in something.
I'm not trying to stick my flag at anything.
You think?
Honey.
Hold on, so.
You think he's their best pitcher?
Yes.
Did you go to watch?
It's not a hot take.
Did you watch him in the minors or something?
No, I watched him last year.
He was, oh, okay.
He was their best pitcher all of last year. He was the guy who they gave the ball to in every game one of the playoffs. He was the guy who pitched the best in the playoffs and in the regular season.
I mean, hell, they didn't have a choice. Wasn't Verlander gone? And Verlander cooked?
Well, they had choices, and they chose him.
Wasn't McCullers cooked?
No, McCullers started in series in the playoffs, and so did
Greinke. I hope you're right. That'd be even beautiful. Add the ace.
Come on,
game changing.
Add the ace back in there.
Yes, for me, and you can disagree. I mean, you may.
No,
be,
I was just asking.
Be wrong,
I was asking out of ignorance.
I'm just saying. I'm not just talking about you because I'm sure there are people who disagree. If everybody's completely healthy and the Astros need to pitch and need to have a start, it's Framber Valdez. As he proved to be the guy all last year, currently.
I love it.
Since 2007.
I hope you're right, man. I love it. The Astros have won 8 of the last 11. They've won the last 3 series. The rotation looks money. Hell, the whole pitching staff's have been money as of
Jake
late.
Jake Odorizzi would be the one to go down right now, wouldn't you think?
If Framber, I think he'd slide into some kind of long relief situation or something.
He would be
something.
The one that come out of the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, I would
Urquidy
think.
Urquidy as your 5, the way he's pitching right now.
Yes. Yeah. Look, I think you got to look at it as, you could use whoever you don't decide to go with in the 5 hole. You could use that guy's long relief out of the, and he would be a very complimentary to Valdez or to one, because you got a wide range of styles there coming off the mound. So you got to think they'd be good out of the pen in long relief. So. It's a good problem to have, but yeah, I would go with Jose Urquidy over Odorizzi the little bit that we've seen. But look, Astros are locked and loaded, man. They're catching the Yankees at the right time. We'll see what happens. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. 6 o'clock, first pitch, baby.
One of the most connected people in the NFL says he kind of sees where this Deshaun Watson thing could be heading. We'll let you hear that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Rich Eisen of NFL Network and has his own show, The Rich Eisen Show, he said this is where he believes the Deshaun Watson situation is going after being at the draft this past weekend.
All signs indicate that a settlement might be approaching. I hear a lot at the draft. The chatter, chitter, chatter you hear. It's insane. And all you hear, again, I don't know if it's going to happen. It may never happen. A settlement is potentially nigh between Deshaun Watson and whomever. And then we'll see. That could be placed in the hands of the commissioner. We'll see what happens if Deshaun gets suspended for whatever his behavior has been found to be. Now, obviously, if it's criminal, that's a whole different ball of wax.
That's Rich Eisen saying a settlement. He believes a settlement is coming, the chatter he was hearing at the draft. And Clint, a settlement, if you're looking at it, if we're just strictly looking at this from the football standpoint, with the Texans, Deshaun, and other teams in the league that would be interested in acquiring Deshaun, a settlement is what most would hope this thing moves towards. And it, with that being the case, what would that mean? What would a potential settlement mean for the Texans, Deshaun Watson? What would it mean?
Progress. Right. I mean, ultimately, that's all everybody wants and everybody involved. Right now, it's you're in a holding pattern because you don't know if they're the criminal, complaint is going to turn into a full out lawsuit, charges. You don't know what's going to come after all the info. Hell, I think right now they're still in the process of exchanging the appropriate information. So Rusty Harden can figure out, all the exact identities of the plaintiffs. So, I mean, it's just moving at a snail's pace. And so, look, I mean, a settlement at any point in time would be ideal for all parties involved other than Deshaun Watson's reputation, I mean, which appears to be extremely important. But if we're just talking about a settlement would be major because then I think there's pressure on the criminal investigation side of things. If that investigation is ongoing, there's pressure to get that thing solved. So there's pressure at the NFL to get their discipline doled out in one way, shape, or form so that the league will know Deshaun's out for the season, Deshaun's out for 8 games, Deshaun's out for 6 games, whatever it may be. And I think at that point in time, the Texans can deal him, right? I mean, at that point in time, all parties involved know what's at risk and know what they're dealing with. And at that point in time, I think teams would definitely be interested in trading for Deshaun Watson's services. And I think a settlement is obviously the quickest way to get there.
With a settlement from the Texas standpoint, you don't think that a settlement would then mean, hey, we get together and they have the thought of, let's try to salvage this and see if we can keep this franchise quarterback that's 25? Or do you think a settlement still continues for the Texans for them to say, we're going to move on, and it's good for us because we can trade him, not good for us because we got a chance to keep him?
I think anything's possible at this point in time, but it would take, if Deshaun would just cave and come back, I think the Texans would have been smart to take him. He's way too talented to force out the door, so to speak. But now that there's 22 lawsuits involved, I think it's bigger than just Deshaun. And if it's going to take Deshaun and the Texans both caving and coming together and deciding to move forward, I think that may be a little bit of a stretch. I don't think Deshaun's going to cave completely, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that the Texans at this point would cave either.
No, I agree. I think this is a place where the Texans are like, let's get the picks. Let's get the value for him. But also, Rich Eisen, after talking about thinking a settlement is coming, which would open the door for the potential to be able to trade Deshaun if that's what the Texans would look to do, he gave solid reasoning why there are at least two teams that make a ton of sense both value-wise and draft capital. Here is Rich Eisen on how the Eagles can make sense.
The Eagles have 3 first-round picks next year. Their own, the one they got from Miami to trade down from 6 to 12. They got a first-rounder for next year, but they got a first-rounder in their back pocket. So you've got your own, you've got Miami's, and the third one is the first-round pick that everybody believes Carson Wentz's play will push into the first round based on the parameters of the deal that they made with the Colts. That's 3 first-rounders. So there's the Eagles saying, hey, if Deshaun Watson is a viable quarterback in the NFL in the eyes of the commissioner, in the eyes of fans, in the eyes of the law, here we are. Out of conference. You want to send him here?
Clint, when you put that all together and you think about where potentially the Texans' first round draft pick could be, now you're talking you could have as many as potentially four first round draft picks. That's better than anything the Texans thought they could have gotten last year in this past draft when you look at the three teams that had multiple draft picks.
Preach, talk dirty to me, Philly. I mean, this is this is so beautiful.
Right, if I have to.
We talked last year. Oh, man, Miami's got two first-round picks, one of them in the top 10. Jets got two first-round picks, one of them in the top 10. Jacksonville got two first-round picks, one of them in the top 10. And you get all excited about it. Yeah, that was nice. Two first-round picks, and all of them, from each team, one of them would have been in the top 10. It's a beautiful package. We all talked about it. Man, I don't know if the Texans are ever going to have this possibility. Multiple teams with multiple first-round draft picks and one of them in the top five. They may not have that where there's three teams with top five picks and multiple first-rounders, but what Philly's bringing to the table, given how the Deshaun Watson situation has changed with these allegations, three first-round draft picks, and you're going to have your own? Come on, man. This is one of them scenarios where...
I don't know if they get all three, but... I do. You think they'd get all... If there's a settlement, you think the Texans would get all three of their first-round picks in this draft?
Well, I mean, they could. I think Deshaun Watson is worth that. I think he's worth one in the top five and one in the later first round or one in the next... I think he's worth multiple first-round draft picks, and if one of them's in the top five, it's two first-round draft picks. And if they're not in the top five or top 10, then three first-round draft picks. Again, whether they're all in the same year or they're spread out over the next couple of years, I don't know about that. But I do believe that his value will once again reach that level. I mean, if not that level, damn near it.
If he settles and that is it, and we're just talking strictly from a football standpoint, not anything else. From a football standpoint, if he were to settle and – you get an understanding of what the league is going to do. If he were to settle, I think his value, I'm not quite sure if it's all the way to what it was because he would miss some games because I think there's going to be some kind of consequence, but it's going to be very, very close. And, yes, I could see it being three first-round picks potentially if he settles in this situation.
Coach, and we're talking about Philly right now with what they've got. The point is not whether he's going to be worth it or not. The point is, which I think he will be too, Show, but the point is, right, is that we looked at the scenario this year and went, oh, my gosh, what if the Texans aren't – there's nothing the next couple of years. I was guilty of it. I talked to Sean Pendergast about it. I was like, man, this is awfully sexy for the Texans to be in a position to trade Deshaun Watson with these other teams and all these first-round picks. This may never come around again, and I'm not saying that this Philly situation is what the Jets could have offered or what Miami could have offered last year, but the point is that Deshaun Watson's still a Texan. There's going to come a day when he can be traded. The draft is over, so last year's behind him, and if you're looking down the pipe into the future, there's zero doubt about it, Philly is going to be able to put a very, very nice draft capital package together for Deshaun Watson.
Well, Philly, and the best part about it is Philly has one team, and then you look at the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins over the next 2 years, they have the ability to have a first in 2022 and two first rounds in 2023, and they've got a second round pick that they also acquired in deals. They're another team that has a lot, but the big thing is with Philly with those three. Is you start putting teams that are battling to try to get this, negotiating. Now, Philly's three potential first-round picks just keeps driving the price up from everyone else.
Yep.
And potentially, if there is a lot of teams in there, you may push Philly to feel like they may have to make their ultimate package, which I think if it came down to it with Deshaun, you could see teams saying to hell.
Come on, man. I mean, if you're Miami – after what they just drafted, the weapons they have, they're primed and ready. They're a quarterback away. Right now, everything hinges on Tua. Can Tua take the leap? Can he make the leap? Can he Can he get anywhere close at the pro level that we saw him play in the college level? Right? If they get a chance with those draft picks and Tua to move all those guys, to move those draft picks and Tua and bring in Deshaun Watson, they would be an immediate Super Bowl contender. And I don't care if he's suspended for 6 weeks. They got to make the move.
Yeah.
I mean, look, assuming there's no criminal.
That's a part. But we're talking about if it's a settlement and everything is settled and that story ends, then yes, that you could see that occurring. And there are teams out there who'd be willing to roll. Listen, don't shoot the messenger. It's a huge, huge game tonight. Astros, Yankees,
6 o'clock, baby.
And Yankees fans had some words about your Astros. Buckle up. That's next.
If the Astros want to shut people up, go out there, stick those baseballs and their bats where the sun doesn't shine.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Now, damn it, Houston, come on. This is one of these nights where you should be fired up.
Like, I'm so excited!
Am I off base on this? Is this one of these? I've been thinking about this. You're a hardcore Astros fan. I've been thinking about this all day at work. I've been waiting.
Hell yeah.
I've been waiting for this damn thing to start tonight. I cannot wait. Yankees Astros, first time they've been on the field since 2019 when Jose Altuve ended the Yankees season. The first time they've been on the field. This is a circle game. This is a big time game if you're a fan, especially if you're a fan for what has happened, everything that has happened since you last played them with the stuff that they've talked and said, the fans have said, this is a huge one.
Show that this is you star this game on the schedule regardless of what happens in the past. When you play the Yankees, you star that game on the schedule, that series on the schedule. And you're on a mission. You want to be playing your best ball when you get there, and you want to represent H-Town in New York, period. I mean, that what happened in the past, right, is just icing on the cake. The fact of the matter is the Astros are going to New York. They're going to be across the diamond from the pinstripes. And there's some organizations in pro sports, when you go play that team, you just want it a little bit more. Your blood runs a little bit hotter, and it just means more. And the Astros are going to one of those professional franchises in the Yankees, and they've won 8 of their last 11 games. They've won their last 3 series, one versus Tampa Bay, one versus Seattle, one versus L.A. And not only is their blood running hot because they're going to New York, they're hotter than a firecracker. The rotation, top to bottom. I mean, starting rotation, the pen, they've been really good as of late, and the lineup's healthy and swinging the sticks good. Yes, absolutely. This was starred from the get-go with the Astros. Now that they're coming in hot, they're playing good ball. It's starred and circled, and now we can throw a little icing on the cake of what happened in 2019. Mm. And the BS that's been talked since, and even though the Yankees weren't as bad as the Dodgers, there was some chirping going on, some disrespect thrown the Astros' way. And so that adds even a little bit more of a reason to want to go up there and unload on the Yankees so that whatever they're trying to say, you had an advantage in 2019, all right, we had an advantage this year too because we're just better than y'all. Absolutely, man. This is a game that's been started on the schedule. I looked at the schedule show probably 3 series ago and realized the Yankees are right around the corner.
It's coming up. Yeah.
At that time, though, it was, damn. I look at the Yankees, I'm like, damn, these Astros ain't playing good ball right now.
They weren't either.
They got guys, COVID-19's tearing them up. The pitcher, I don't give a damn what they're doing. I'm talking about Astros. And I'll be damned if the Astros didn't catch fire, get everybody healthy. And I'll be damned if they ain't sitting pretty going into this series. Yes, sir. This is big.
Yeah, Clint, Sleazy, this is one of my favorite things in sports, and that is a sports hate, a healthy amount of sports hate that we should be seeing tonight. You don't see it. Baseball is crashing in on ESPN right now. They have, every time I look up, they are talking about this game tonight. They have already talked to Yankees fans, and they've been out there talking trash with their signs. So, yes, get fired up. But this should this should maybe pull a little bit more of that sports hate out. This is what Yankees, if you forgot, if you thought that you weren't amped up enough, this is what the Yankees fans were saying after the Astros took their asses home in 2019.
So the Yankees, as you probably know, were eliminated in dramatic fashion at the hands of the Houston Astros. The Astros have now sent the Yankees home three out of the past five seasons, and in the spirit of good sportsmanship, we went out on the street this afternoon to give Yankees fans a chance to congratulate the players and people of Houston on making it to the World Series.
Where are you from, Donna?
Brooklyn.
Donna from Brooklyn, would you like to wish the Astros good luck in the World Series?
Absolutely not.
Anything you want to say to them?
I do. I want to say, Altuve, that was a nice shot, but next time we're going to throw at your head.
Oh, God, Donna.
Would you like to congratulate the Houston Astros on going to the World Series?
The Astros. The Houston Astros, New York Yankees all day. I'm a New Yorker. I'm a Yankee.
My favorite. I want to Rosie tell that Perez. Little Altuve to come by my construction site and we'll throw him a beat.
Anything you like to say to the Houston Astros? Look right there and tell him.
The Houston Astros. Them.
You want to congratulate the Astros on going to the World Series?
Hell no. The Astros. Astros. And Altuve, little tattoo looking bastard. I hate him. Go Yankees.
Anything you'd like to say to the Astros?
Yeah. Them, they suck.
You a Yankees fan?
Yeah, baby.
Anything you'd like to say to the Houston Astros?
Go yourself. Is that good?
That's their go-to, isn't it? There you go. I want to hear it. All right, damn it. We got about 20 minutes left in this. 713-572-4610. Do you have a message? Do you have a message for Yankees fans? Please don't curse. Do you have a message
I got that
for
button.
Yankees fans? Oh, you see, listen.
I stay on that dump button.
You've just turned into dirty now.
No, I just, if they do, I'll hit the dump button. I got a foul mouth a lot of the time, so I keep my hand close to that button right there. And I'm if just somebody that, hits
I,
it, I'll
listen, buy. I'm just the messenger, but I love a healthy amount of sports hate, and it looks like the Yankees fans had that amount of sports hate. Do you all have a message for the damn Yankees? I mean, they went in. Donna, I'm going to throw at your head. Damn, Donna.
Oh, did she give you a name?
That was Donna from Brooklyn. She let it off.
Donna from
she
Brooklyn.
She said, yeah, that was a nice shout out to me, but come back in. I'm going to throw at your head. Construction workers challenging Altuve to come in.
That one with that thick accent sounded rough. Really, you think she was drunk or you think that was just thick accent?
I just think that's her accent.
That'd be tough on a daily basis.
Oh, God. No, it wouldn't. It's got a little Rosie Perez to her.
Look at this guy.
That's what I when I
Rosie
hear
Rosie Perez.
I
that sounded
big
awful.
I
that
think
sounded
big gold
drunk
hoops.
Thick.
I think big gold hoops and white man can't jump.
The last chick sounded a little hot. She had a little northeastern accent there, and sounded a little hot. That thick, I can't go that thick stuff, man. That'd be tough to wake up.
I want the sports hate at an all time high. And yes, hey, I think she did sound cute. But I want the sports hate.
You just hope she's at drunk. All. You just think a drunk chick.
Hold on,
I don't. I like what she's bringing to the table. I want to see the sports hate at an all-time high. Do you have a message for Yankees fans? Anthony, kick this thing off. Go ahead, Anthony. You got a message for Yankees fans.
I got a message. I'm coming hot. I got a message for you. How about this message right here? Cheating or no cheating, we're going to tap that ass, and I don't care what they got to say about it. Suck it up and suck one. How about that?
Oh, Anthony. Let's go. 713-572-4610. Do you have a message? Anthony kicked it off right. He said, we about to tap that ass. Cheating or no cheating.
It's going to start a fire.
We about to tap that ass. My goodness. I just wanted at an all-time high. That's what I want to hear right there, baby. I mean, he skirted on the lines there a little bit, but that's what I want to hear.
Yeah, I pump faked the dump button once. That was all.
I did too. I was here. I heard him. I heard him right away. I heard him right away from the text line. F the Yankees. Tell the Yankees fans to boo and boo their crappy hitting and pitching as opposed to booing the Astros themselves. I think they're going to bring it tonight.
You think so?
Oh,
the fans?
Yeah. They're going to give everything they got.
Yeah,
it's going to be about 17,000 of them, but I think they're going to give everything they got. 713-572-4610. I'm seeing it. Do you have a message for Yankees fans? Let me hear it. Get that soundtrack to him. Nathan, all right, your turn. Go ahead. You got a message for Yankees fans.
Yeah, boy, this is Nathan from Baytown, and I want them boys to know that we ain't playing around. We're going to bend that ass over. We're going to send them out the door at their own stadium. We're going to own that. We're going to own that.
I know what you want to say, Nathan. I know what you want to say. I say it for you. We're going to own that bitch. That's what you wanted to say, Nathan. That's what you wanted to say. Yes, I can say that.
Can you say that?
Yes.
God.
We're going to own it.
He's towing the line.
I'm towing it. Yes. You be careful. Own it. That's what Nathan. It's 5:44.
Hey, I don't need you finishing the caller's lines. I don't need a rotational seat over there. Rotating seat over there in my co-host again. Do me a favor.
Yes, you can. Robert, go ahead. What's your message to Yankee fans?
I got a message for those Yankee turds. And Big Judge can try to judge our man Altuve all they want. But two words for you.
Suck it! I'm with you, Robert.
I thought he was going to do some DMX right there. I forgot about DX back in the day.
Yeah,
man.
When he said DMX, I didn't know where he was going to go. I didn't know which album he was coming from.
That music gets folks a little excited.
I just want the sports hate at an all-time high.
Well, it's up. It's at the a
Yankee,
high. It's at
Yankees
an all-time
fans
high,
up here
especially midweek.
Yes, construction workers up here threatening to get Altuve to come in.
What are you guys? We're gonna throw a beat down.
Yeah, beat him down. Come down to the construction site. Go ahead, Gilbert. Go ahead. What's your message to Yankees fans?
I'm sitting here drinking an ice cold Coors Light.
Mm-hmm.
I need to let them Yankee fans know that Houston are the ultimate hustlers because I think Gerrit Cole is up there hustling them boys for all that money and they ain't doing a damn thing with them.
There you go. He's fired up. He sounds like he is.
Hit him drinking. Where it hurts. They're up there paying Cole, and he ain't paying out.
Willie, jump in here. Go ahead, Willie. You got a message for Yankees fans. Willie, don't let me lose you.
New York City.
Yeah, go ahead, Willie.
New York City. The Yankees.
That was graphic.
I got to think about that one.
That was.
At least he bleeped himself.
He bleeped himself. That was dark. That was dark. Yeah. Yankees, Astros. I just want y'all to be in the right space. And I felt like you needed to hear that. I didn't think. I was wondering and making sure Astros fans were in the right space. And you need to be in the right space.
They'll be in the right. They're in the right space. You got first pitch in less than 15 minutes. I don't know where you're at, but I hope wherever you're at, you're with family and friends, and you're getting ready to make some memories, drinking some cold Coors Light, watching these Astros, because this is going to be fun. So Grinky on the bump, this is going to be good. Line up full go, and the pinstripes across the diamond, baby. What else you want?
I liked your voice.
Someone texted.
I know you
in,
do.
Someone texted in, leave it to Clint to talk about a heavy accent. Laughing my ass off.
What's wrong with that?
I mean, I bet Yankees fans. If Yankees fans called in and listened to you,
I've been hitting New York before. Don't think your boy wasn't hitting New York.
Now. I bet you they'd say you got a heavy accent.
Yeah, no question. They would, no question. There's no doubt about it.
That's right. Yeah, I need my boy Los to get going tonight. I need him. I need him to really show out.
That's why I feel sexy.
That's my man tonight.
He's in New York. He's in the Big Apple, baby. Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna feel sexy. And you're gonna expect big money this next offseason. Hey, there ain't a bigger stage than right here tonight, baby.
Oh, man. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Still, the draft came and went this weekend, but Nick Caserio, he really kind of made it a point when he spoke to Seth and Sean earlier this week, which was yesterday because there's only been one day. But he made a point with Seth and Sean to speak about his thought process and how they're looking to build this team.
When we went into the offseason in terms of the roster construction, our goal was to try to create as much competition as possible. And I think we had the mindset that volume was going to be the case in the kind of March period, because that's how we viewed it. Coach Kelly and I and the staff had a lot of discussions about it. And that was the mentality and the mindset that we approached it with.
All right, man, he's making it claim like they're not building this team, at least right now, to start the build through what has been accustomed, and that is top level in talent. There is more building from the bottom or the middle first and then going towards that top level talent.
Yeah, look, I think it's obvious what the Texans are doing at this point in time. I mean, regardless of how you look at the draft is just literally adding five individuals to the roster. Big picture, I don't know that tells you a whole lot about what they're trying to get accomplished as a whole. And there's no doubt about it that when you look at what Nick Caserio's done in, throughout free agency, regardless of what side of the football we're talking, he's taken and he's trying to strengthen the, let's say, number 8 player on the roster to the number 40 player on the roster. That core of this organization, they've got to strengthen, they've got to solidify, they've got to get good, solid, consistent professionals in those positions. And I'm talking about guys like Justin Reed, Bradley Roby, Jordan Akins, Zach Cunningham, Tyler Adams, Tyrell Adams, Carlos Hyde, Lamar Marlowe, those types of players where whether it's a Bradley Roby who gives you a chance to win every snap that he's on the field, or it's just steady Eddie, consistent Tyrell Adams that filled in last year at the middle linebacker position and ended up earning himself a nice
contract with Buffalo.
Yeah. I mean, so it's regardless of what position you play, regardless of how talented you are, or you may not be, it's not about being the best player. It's about just the meat of this lineup, the meat of this roster has to improve in a major, major way. They'll add stars. They'll add the Deshaun Watsons, the J.J. Watts, and the DeAndre Hopkins, and they'll add those superstars down the road when opportunity presents itself. But right now, it's definitely about building that middle of the pack. It's not sexy. There's nothing fun about it. It's about getting as many quality players in here you can between that year 4 and 7 veteran in the league and get a bunch of them in here, figure out which ones are good fits, cut the others, and you've improved your roster overall.
But, Clint, that's something that really good teams generally do. Like, I mean, if you look at the two teams in the Super Bowl, the Buccaneers, they built that thing to where their, as you would say, middle class was to a place where then they were ready to bring in a guy like Tom Brady to take their entire team to the next level, because they did a lot of things across the offensive line and defensive line and areas in their team that they were much better where they were ready for him. And you think about the Chiefs, I mean, they got all the way to the Super Bowl without tackles, with 3 offensive linemen out, which means they get to a Super Bowl. And I know they have top-end talent, but they had guys that can step in that were better than – you know, some of the people that the Texans were rolling out there with. And so you look at those teams, their middle class is much better than what the Texans' middle class has been.
Yeah, look, so this is getting to 8 to 10 wins, which is really where the Texans do when Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins were playing their best. Look, I know they had a 24-point lead on Kansas City, and at that moment everybody thought, okay, they're a Super Bowl contender. But if you look at the last couple of years, three years, that they were never a threat to win a Super Bowl, right? Other than that, literally that one quarter of ball where they had that lead. Ultimately, if you're going to build an organization to that 8 to 10 win range where you're flirting with the playoffs every year, you can do it one of two ways, right? You either have a really, really good core group that, again, that number 8 to number 40 or 45 member on your roster are really playing above their ceiling, they're really solid pros, and they're the glue of the organization, right? Or you've got a really top-heavy roster where your superstars are winning and losing games on Saturday, and everything you do depends on that guy having a lights-out game, or like here, Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt. They had to go out and play at an extremely high level every single night and make monster plays for the Texans to be able to win. And they were really good at it, so the Texans won more than they lost. But ultimately, that's why the Denver Broncos beat you. They're up 35-3 with 9 minutes left in the third quarter, because it's thin ice you're walking on. But either way, you can get to 8 or 10 wins, flirt with the playoffs with a really good, solid core like Miami has right now, 10 wins last year. But let's be honest, 10 wins, but they weren't on nobody's radar with the Super Bowl.
No.
Right
no.
now... If they can plug in a superstar quarterback,
if they were to get Deshaun or Aaron Rodgers, their team is set.
Look out!
Just
so the Texans were the one,
and they
that
built
was super,
it that way on purpose,
right? They built it that way. That's where I'm going with it. Right? Is the Texans were full of stars, and if the stars had to play unbelievable every game to be in it and have a chance to win, right? the core, the nucleus was not as good as the other teams. The team was not as good as the other teams that you see consistently in the playoffs. The Texans are in a spot now to where the stars are gone and the team's not very good. They got to start by building that core, build that nucleus, build that the window of 20 to 25 players, 30 players in the middle of this team. That's how they're going to that start there. That's how they're going to get back to respectability. And then if you can find those superstars, you plug them in and you got a chance to make a run deep in the playoff.
There we go. Never been more disappointed in Tyler Milner today, our producer. No Astros gear on at all.
Stick it, show.
You said stick it to your fandom, and I'm really disappointed. Clint, great job as always. Tyler, besides that, great job as well. Listeners, you were fantastic today as well. I am Ron, the show Hughley, and as always, Houston, we love you, baby.
If you don't know the facts, then you gotta chill.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.